Chances are your menu today does not include a side of crickets, or any other insect for that matter. But our guest this hour hopes to change that. We'll hear 5 reasons why people should eat bugs. And we'll wonder if you could imagine eating a few locusts or mealworms or other creepy crawlies. Maybe you have already. Do you see a day when you, when many of us would knowingly, and perhaps we would want to, eat insects? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, August 21st. Our guest is on a quest to make insects an acceptable food source worldwide. And we will welcome your questions and your reactions. Maybe you have an insect food review for us at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Robert Nathan Allen, the founder and director of Little Herds, an Austin, Texas-based nonprofit organization aimed at educating people about the benefits of eating insects. Good morning.
Good morning.
So do you put crickets or mealworms on your Cheerios every morning?
I think I would if I could. At this point, we try to save most of them for samples, but that certainly would be a good mix.
So what got you into promoting insects in the first place?
So that's a great story. About 2.5 years ago, my mother sent me a video online as a joke about eating insects, saying this looks like something you and your dad would do, but I'll never try it. And I took it really seriously. It was the video was about how environmentally sustainable insects are and how healthy they are, how many cultures around the world eat them already. And it just seemed like such a no-brainer idea. I thought it was really cool. And I dove right in, started doing Google research, and started to learn all about entomophagy. And that's what sucked me down the rabbit hole. And shortly after that video, our family got to take a vacation to New Orleans, where we went to the bug museum there, and
do we lose our guest? Well, for some reason, we have lost connection with Robert Nathan Allen. We will get it back. In the meantime, we invite you to come call in with your questions about eating insects. We'll talk about the 5 reasons we should eat insects. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is the director of Little Herds, an Austin, Texas-based nonprofit organization that is aimed at educating people about the benefits of eating insects. And some of the 5 reasons why we ought to eat insects, according to our guest, they are sustainable, they're nutritious, they're easy to farm, they're versatile, and they're tasty. We shall see about that. Okay, we have reestablished contact with our guest. Robert, are you there?
I am. Oh, sorry about that.
No, that's okay. Sometimes those things happen. So you were saying that you dove right in and started learning more and more about the benefits of eating insects. And well, let's talk about those. What are the, quickly first, and then we'll go into them in a little more depth. What are the 5 reasons why people should eat insects?
Well, I don't have them right in front of me, but there's way more than 5 reasons, Joy. I guess a few of the big ones are their nutrition. Compared to traditional protein sources, they are just as healthy, if not far healthier, in terms of protein, calcium, iron, micronutrients like B12 and B6 vitamins, omega-3s, zinc, copper, magnesium, all sorts of vitamins and minerals that we're not going to get from other meats. They're also very sustainable to raise. So they can be grown with very little land, very little water, very little food input, and producing very few greenhouse gas emissions. So their environmental impact is very minimal for the amount of food you actually get. They're also very tasty. There's close to 2,000 species that we know are edible, and all of those are going to have, you know, varying nuances of flavor and texture. So this is a great new open world for innovative chefs to, you know, to start exploring with new recipes. They're also economically viable in terms of the amount of feed it takes, you know, both for developing areas like the U.S., I mean, sorry, developed areas like the U.S. and developing nations where they may not have as much access to water or land or high-quality animal feed, insects are a great way for people to get their protein without having to have a lot of economic input. So it provides both food and economic security for people in food insecure areas.
Yeah,
And then I guess if I had to list a fifth one, then I'd definitely say that they're culturally relevant in our world. You know, about 1 in 5 people in the world eats insects on a regular basis, and 80% of the world's nations view insects as a normal food. They don't have the same reaction that we do in Western countries.
Why is it, do you think, that in the U.S. and Western countries we kind of get grossed out by even the thought?
Well, I think a lot of it is just we've been raised that way. It's a psychological association that we've had since we were children. We've always been told that insects are gross, they're dirty, they're pests, they're the enemy of a farmer. Daniela Martin, who recently released Edible, talks about it from an anthropological perspective, looking at different countries around the world. You know, in the tropics where insects are larger and the practice of entomophagy has continued to this day, and it's not seen as weird in the other northern climates like Europe, where Western culture kind of started. In those areas, the insects were smaller, they were more of a pest, and the practice died out over time. And so we've just been, you know, over generations and generations, that mindset of get rid of the insect has just stuck. And the result of that is that we've lost out on this fantastic resource, and we've just been ignoring it.
So what are some of the insects that might be tops on the menu?
Well, the first thing we always want people to know is that insects, because they're genetically similar to other arthropods like shrimp, crab, lobster, we do know that there's a possibility of people with shellfish allergies having a shellfish reaction to edible insects. So we always want to make sure that people know that before they start exploring. I'm sorry, what was the question?
Well, I had no idea. That's interesting that that they could trigger a shellfish allergy. But in any case, I asked, what are some of the insects that would be, you know, lead the menu?
Sure. So crickets right now are definitely top of the menu, and that's because they have a very mild, oaty, nutty flavor. They've got a good amount of protein, but they're packed with iron and calcium, all the other micronutrients. And we know a lot about how to raise them economically efficiently. We know a lot about how to raise them sustainably, and we know a lot about their nutritional profile. So crickets are definitely our go-to insect. Mealworms are a close follow, and mealworms are the larva form of the darkling beetle, which is commonly found in grains or flowers. And they're a little bit lower in things like iron and calcium, but they're a lot higher in omega-3s and 6s. They've got a lot of good fat inside of them, like an avocado. And then if you want to get a little more exotic, I've never tried ant eggs, but I've heard that ant eggs, Escamoles, in Latin America, are delicious. And so that's definitely high on my to eat list.
Oh my gosh, ant eggs. Yeah. Well, you know, and we eat fish eggs, so why not, huh?
Absolutely. Like land caviar.
Yeah. But getting back to the cricket. So it's got a nutty flavor, you say. I mean, what do people just toast them or what?
Yeah. So a lot of times when we're sampling insects at events, we'll have a bowl of toasted crickets. And when people try them, they tell us, they taste like sunflower seeds or toasted pumpkin seeds or maybe even toasted soybeans. So it has that real nice mild flavor, and that actually works really well. The way we like to introduce insects to people is to take the crickets once they're roasted and have them ground into a flour. And now you can use this cricket powder to supplement recipes like chocolate chip cookies, banana bread, muffins, pasta, tortillas. And you've got the same product, it tastes same, it looks the same, it feels the same, but now you've got more of that iron and calcium and magnesium. So you're making a healthier food without changing the way we're eating.
Seriously.
And that's really how we see America and Canada and Europe and Australia being able to adopt insects into our diet.
Wow. So is this on the market right now?
Yes, absolutely. And there's a number of companies that have, over the past few years, you know, innovative startups who've taken this idea and put products on the market that are available now for retail. Companies like Chef Pool, which was the first insect bar on the market, and more recently companies like Exo and Bitty Foods and Six Foods is actually making black bean and cricket tortilla chips for the common consumer.
We are talking about the benefits of eating insects. So what do you think about this? I hope you didn't turn off the radio. Would you consider eating insects? Have you had some cricket flour lately? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Do you think this will catch on in the United States? It's commonplace in other countries. What about here? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. We are talking with Robert Nathan Allen, who is the founder and director of Little Herds, which is a nonprofit organization aimed at educating people about the benefits of eating insects. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We're talking about eating crickets and other insects. Talking about why people should eat bugs, including their sustainability, nutrition, and flavor. And we welcome your questions. We welcome your reactions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Any questions about farming or eating bugs? Let's go to the phones. We have Sylvia in Rice Lake with us first. Hello, Sylvia.
Hello, Joy.
Hi.
I was laughing because I remember when I was working with a man from Ecuador, and he would bring us crickets that were cured in lime juice to be eaten with margaritas. And they taste very good. And I remember when he brought me a little plastic sandwich bag full, and I put them in my candy dish for my teenagers.
Did they eat them?
They tried them. They tried them, but they told me they weren't old enough to drink, but they told me that they probably would taste better with margaritas.
This was from Ecuador, you say?
From Ecuador, yes. He said when he'd come through customs, people in customs would hold up the plastic bag with one corner, you know, go ick, but so, they were good.
So would you consider having them besides paired with margaritas, Sylvia?
Besides? Oh, sure, mm-hmm. Because that's what we would snack on. They're low calorie.
Are they, Robert?
yeah, absolutely. And they are eaten as a bar snack in a lot of different countries.
Yeah, so how come it caught on in Ecuador or other countries? And you mentioned that we just kind of have the ick factor here, but people in other countries have been eating insects, forever?
Yeah, it's not that it's caught on in other countries. It's that it just died out in popularity in certain cultures. So in places like Ecuador or Southeast Asia or anywhere in Africa, there's a variety of cultures that have traditionally harvested insects and all different types of species, you know, ants, termites, wasps. Wasps are very popular in Japan. And all these different cultures have developed recipes and affinity for these different insects. It's just been part of their diet, just the same way that we eat pork or beef or chicken or fish.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to think on how. I mean, you say that there are cricket flowers available. There are cricket farms out there. Mm-hmm. What do you think? How long do you think it's going to take for us to? This will be a mainstay.
Well, it's certainly a tall mountain to climb. We know that the ick factor is a very real reaction a lot of people get, and it's something that's hard for a lot of people to get over, and that's why. Abstracting the insects, we think, is so key. You can look at examples like sushi, American diets changing. You know, it took about 20 years from the late 1960s to the early 1980s for sushi to go from dangerous and disgusting in the American mindset to something that you would find in any city. And, you know, now it's something you can find at a grocery store. So we're hoping to take that and accelerate it. And hopefully within, 5 years, we can have at least a good amount of people willing and ready to eat insects, whether it's through a product or whether it's through, going to your local favorite restaurant and your chef serves up some, chapulinas, which would be the crickets, chapulinas tacos or some wasp larva fried rice.
Jane in Green Bay is with us. Hello, Jane.
Hello. I have a nephew, Kevin Bachuber, he's part of Big Cricket Farms in Youngstown, Ohio.
Well, tell me about this, Jane. Why did he get involved with this? Do you know?
I don't know why he took it up. I know he was looking at, he was part of a group of people who were looking at cities that had problem areas where they were converting from like old metal processing plants and things, and they needed new businesses to introduce into old warehouses or into areas that were depressed. So they've taken over a large warehouse and renovated it, and they're now growing crickets and have been on the main major news channels related to the same sort of thing this fellow's talking about, making flour and processing crickets for human consumption.
I think that one of our Facebook friends posted about your nephew. He is a UW-Stevens Point graduate, do you know?
That's right.
Yeah,
right. Yep, and he's from Green Bay.
And Robert, it sounds like you know him.
Yeah, I've had a couple of great conversations with him. It's funny, Six Foods, the company that's going to be making the tortilla chips with cricket flour, they actually started with a Kickstarter campaign and passed their goal of 30,000 and hit their stretch goal of 70,000. And part of the stretch goal was partnering with a local nonprofit to start an urban cricket farm. And so that's where some of the initial funding for Brick Cricket Farm came from. And like she said, they were looking for ways to reinvigorate the local economy. And so they founded the first urban cricket farm for human consumption recently. So we're really excited. We know that in the next 3 to 6 months, they're going to be gearing up and starting production on a large scale. So we're really excited to see what comes out of there.
Jane, yeah. Thank you.
And is it also true that it's gluten-free?
Well, so their insects are gluten-free right now, especially with recent rulings on gluten-free labeling. We're reevaluating what type of diet you would have to feed the insect to make sure it is, 100% gluten-free. Because if you raise an insect on a gluten, like a grain, then there may be some of that still in the insect when you eat them. But if you raise them on a completely vegetarian diet, then you should be able to have a 100% gluten-free cricket. And actually, Bitty Foods is a company out of California that specifically works with gluten-free baking using cricket flour.
Cool.
Yeah, very cool. Thank you, Jane, for the call. So
yeah.
a cricket flour is just ground-up crickets?
Yeah, so if we're going to bake with crickets, we don't want to use 100% cricket flour as a one-to-one substitution, for instance, in a chocolate chip cookie. It doesn't have the ripening properties of flour, and it's a lot more oily. We've had a lot of bakers compare it to, like, a staff flour meal. So we usually will do a quarter to a third substitution, where we'll take out the all-purpose flour and put in that much of the cricket flour, and it bakes perfectly.
Neat. And I mean, we're talking about the taste and the nutrition and the sustainability of insects, but it sounds like they're also job creators.
Yeah. I mean, there's a huge potential for this industry when you think of the size and the scope of our aquaculture industry or our poultry industry, pork or beef. Crickets have the potential to create a lot more food per acre of land without using a lot of water. So it just makes sense that cricket farms would be the next generation of American agriculture.
Interesting. Well, let's go next to Matt in Minocqua. Hi, Matt.
Hi. Just wanted to relate a personal experience. I was in Thailand about, 6 years ago, and at one of these markets, and they were selling crickets, grasshoppers, and silkworm larvae, I think. And they just fried them, and they were... probably the best thing I ate over there was the grasshoppers. They were absolutely delicious.
Good. What do they taste like, Matt?
kind of like your guest said, they kind of had a bit of a nutty flavor, but they cooked them in some kind of oil, and the way they were seasoned, just the texture was really good. They were crunchy and crispy, and just, I don't know, I loved them. I could see sitting watching a movie with a bowl of grasshoppers, and
We have just a minute. Thank you for sharing that, Matt. We have just a minute before a news break, Robert. Is the grasshopper, is that considered the cricket, or is that a separate food source?
It's a separate food source, and there are a couple farms in Europe that are working on raising grasshoppers currently, and a few in the U.S. that are going to be experimenting with it. So that'll be soon down the line.
We are talking with Robert Nathan Allen, founder and director of Little Herds. That's an Austin, Texas-based nonprofit organization that is aimed at educating us about the benefits of eating insects. And we're welcoming your questions. We're welcoming any insect reviews that you might have. Have you eaten insects knowingly? How do you like your bugs? Do you think this is going to catch on? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We'll check news and then we'll be back. Tomorrow, by the way, at this time, we are going to talk with our guest about the many things to see and do on Wisconsin's Indian reservations. We are talking about the benefits of eating bugs this hour and the effort that's underway to make eating insects an acceptable and desirable food source in this country. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 6:37 on this Thursday, August 21st. Our guest this hour hopes that someday insects will be a part of your diet. And we wonder if you think that'll happen or not. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Have you, will you eat insects? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We are talking with Robert Nathan Allen, the founder and director of Little Herds, an Austin, Texas-based nonprofit organization aimed at educating us about the benefits of eating insects. Those benefits include sustainability and nutrition and flavor and many, many more reasons why we might want to eat insects. And we were talking about the efforts that are underway, the cricket farms that are starting up in the United States, Robert. And I guess I had a question about, I mean, is this something, can I just go in my backyard and collect crickets and grasshoppers and start toasting them up? Or is there something to consider in terms of should I be buying these from a farm?
Well, you certainly could, and if you were, you know, lost in the woods and it's a survival situation, then absolutely insects are a way to get that food. But if you go into your backyard and pick up a bug, you don't know where the bug's been or what it's been eating. You know, it may have been hopping around or eating garbage. Your next-door neighbor might be spraying bug spray or weed killer, and you don't want those chemicals getting on your bugs and getting in your food. That's why we advocate using an insect farm where the insects are raised in clean, hygienic environments. We can make sure there's no potential for parasites or bacteria, and we can make sure that we know exactly what's going into them. If you were curious to try insects at home, there are some providers here in North America. There's a few different groups. World Entomophagy and Next Millennium Farms are both retailing insects and insect flour for consumers available online, and hopefully soon Big Cricket Farms will be up online as well.
So what besides the cricket flour, what kinds of, I mean, how do we consume these insects? What are some of the other products that are available?
Well, so there's the protein bars, like the Chapul and Exo that we've mentioned, are a great way to introduce the idea of cricket flour. There's actually a startup company in Austin called Hopper Foods that is working on a cricket flour bar. And they're doing a Kickstarter campaign and have 24 hours left. So if your listeners are interested in trying their first bite of cricket flour bar, they can find Hopper Foods on Kickstarter and pre-order some bars. And I got to say, these are delicious. They're packed with nuts and dried fruits and then the cricket flour give it a nice little nutritional boost.
Interesting. So we can have protein bars. We can, and it's, they're products that are made with the cricket flour. I'm trying to, like, for instance, if I wanted to snack on mealworms, what sorts? I mean, that's all it is a toasted mealworm, and I just eat it whole. Or are there other types of products that use the mealworm?
So the mealworms can be turned into a flour, just like the crickets. And we've had some chefs here locally in Austin do some really creative things. Parisian style macarons with mealworm flour. They did a calamari breaded with coconut and mealworms, and they also used garlic toasted mealworms as a salad topping. I mean, you can think of insects a lot like other meats. You can bake them, you can fry them, you can saute them, you can stir fry. They're so versatile, and our Western cooking culture knows so little about edible insects. That's one of the reasons why we're always interested in talking with bakers and chefs who want to experiment. We want to be able to learn, you know, the best ways to cook insects so that we can share that with the public. And then when people are in their home kitchen experimenting with bugs, they'll have an idea of where to start.
Yeah, I say you just pour chocolate on anything, right?
Well, sure. Pour chocolate on it or dip it in ranch and fry it.
Well, let's take another call. We have Rich in Milwaukee with us. Hi, Rich.
Hi, Julie.
Oh, you...
I've been a long-time fan of your show.
Oh, well, thank you. Go ahead.
When I was a kid at Gimbel's, my grandfather used to buy chocolate-covered bumblebees and grasshoppers that came in, like, cans, like sardines that were, like, packed in oil.
Really?
And they actually tasted... They tasted all right.
At Gimbel's? I remember Gimbel's. Seriously, that was some sort of imported gourmet thing, I guess, huh?
Right, right.
Yeah, and you liked them?
And they were delicious, yeah.
Chocolate-covered
bumblebees.
Do you think those were really bumblebees, Robert?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And now we don't encourage people to eat bees right now because CCD is such a big issue still. But bee larvae are actually quite delicious. They taste kind of like a bacony honey raisin.
Yay. And I remember, gosh, this was years and years ago, some guy was trying to market chocolate-covered ants. Do you remember that? But what about ants? Are ants on the diet?
Yeah, absolutely. And ants are an interesting species. They're so spread across the globe, and there's so many different species, and they have different flavor profiles depending on the type of ant and what they eat. There's a group called Nordic Food Lab, which is a nonprofit that experiments with different food and flavors. And they've done experiments with ants that taste like lemon, ants that taste like a hot pepper, ants that taste like mint. So there's for innovative chefs, this is a whole new vista of different flavors to play with.
Jean in Ashland asks, does the USDA or FDA have a limit on the amount of insects people should eat in a year? I'm guessing he might be joking, but should we be concerned about eating too many insects?
Well, that's a funny question. You actually had a Facebook post on the page talking about knowingly eating insects from Jerry Swanson. And so right now, the FDA and USDA regulation is kind of... It's kind of a wild west because this isn't something that we've ever really considered in the West. We know that there are allowable amounts of insects and insect fragments in our food, for instance, peanut butter or chocolate or a head of lettuce or a can of soup can have a certain number of insect parts or insect eggs in there because it's just part of the processing. It's inevitable that something's going to get in there. But we don't have rules yet on specifically how to raise them for human consumption. And to the question, we don't know if there's a maximum allowable limit of insects that someone should consume, but that's one of the reasons why we're hoping to encourage people to become interested in it. We want to find chemists and scientists and researchers who are interested in finding this information and doing the tests and the experiments to determine, you know, how many insects is enough, how many insects is too much, what are the allergies, all these questions we want to make sure are answered so that we can safely share it with the public.
We are talking about eating insects with Robert Nathan Allen, who is on a quest to change our perception when it comes to making insects a part of our diet. And we wonder if you think this is a good idea or not. We wonder if you think this will catch on or not. We wonder if you've ever tried eating insects like crickets or mealworms or ants or grasshoppers or locusts. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about eating crickets and other insects with our guest this hour and welcoming your questions for him at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Robert Nathan Allen, a founder and director of Little Herds, which is an Austin, Texas-based nonprofit organization aimed at educating people about the benefits of eating insects. We saw a post recently on the benefits of eating insects and five reasons to eat insects. And they include insects are sustainable, insects are nutritious, insects can be farmed anywhere, insects are versatile when it comes to cooking, and insects are tasty. What do you think? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. So, Robert, what's the tastiest insect meal that you've ever had?
Oh, the tastiest insect meal I've had was from a local chef here for a birthday dinner. A friend of mine was a chef and made an insect dinner for about a dozen friends of mine, and that's where we tried the mealworm macarons and calamari. We also had cricket mole tacos and chocolate chip cookies made with cricket flour. So having a five-course meal where every course has insects in it was kind of a dream come true.
And I know Little Herds has been involved in some interesting events over the past year, including a bugs and beer tasting event.
Yeah, we've been actively reaching out to the sommelier and cicerone community for beer and wine pairings to try to determine, what flavor profiles the insects have and how those can pair with different drinks. We recently got to sit down with a group here in Austin and do a taste test with toasted crickets, and the consensus was that red ales and darker beers like a Bock are the best fit for that oaty nutty flavor.
Yeah, I would imagine you could dust those toasted crickets with various spices, and they could taste a little differently.
Well, sure. Like the guest was talking about earlier, in Ecuador, chili and lime is a very popular flavor in Mexican and Central American cuisine. We've also dusted them with cinnamon sugar, and they taste kind of like Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
So David in River Falls wants to know, should we be concerned about parasites in the insects?
So if you were to go in your backyard and eat an insect, then that would be a risk. If you're getting your insects from a source that is raising them in hygienic conditions and processing them, making sure that there's no risk for that, then you should be fine. Of course, you always want to cook your insects. You don't want to ever eat them raw because there is a risk of bacteria and parasites. But through cooking, those are destroyed. And in terms of zoonoses, diseases that can cross from animals to humans, like mad cow disease or avian or swine flu, insects are so far genetically removed from humans that we don't have to worry about a lot of those superbugs developing and crossing over to people, which is another check in the plus column.
Yeah. Well, one of our Facebook friends also was, I think, joking about when somebody unknowingly or accidentally ate a fly, which really grosses people out because flies are really gross. What about flies if they're, if they're not feeding on garbage? Is that a possible source of food for us or not?
Yeah, there's a few startups that have experimented with black soldier fly larvae, which is a different species than the common house fly. They're much cleaner, and they actually act as a natural deterrent to house flies. And the larvae, black soldier fly larvae, are edible if they're fed a human-grade diet. And they're extremely efficient. And the interesting thing about the fly larvae is that they're actually being looked at not so much as food for humans, but as a feed source for animals. If you're raising aquaculture fish or poultry, the feed you're using is more than likely going to be supplemented with soy or fish meal or fish oil to give it protein and vitamins and minerals. And the cost of soy is going higher, and fish meal and fish oil is going it's becoming very expensive because of the amount of overfishing in our ocean. And fly larva is, across the board, a better feed supplement for chickens and fish. And it's a really easy way that we could be sustainably farming this protein source using, waste side streams like used brewer hops or, vegetable compost like potato peels, apple cores, watermelon rind, and turning all that, those scraps into usable protein that we can use for our feed. And that brings the cost down for farmers.
Wow. Autumn in Plymouth is with us now. Hi, Autumn.
Hi. I just have a question. I'm curious. I heard that it has a lot of protein. Night crawlers, do they eat them?
I'm sorry. You want to know about
night crawlers?
Yeah.
So that's not something that I've tried, but there are cultures around the world where they're eaten. The book from Daniela Martin, Edible, talks about eating earthworms, and I know that there are people who've tried them and said they're tasty. It's just not something I've had the chance to try yet.
Thank you, Autumn. We still have time for you. If you have a question about farming insects, eating insects, the market for insects, developing our taste buds in America for insects, have you ever tried them? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest, Robert Nathan Allen, is talking about the benefits of eating insects, including that their sustainability, their nutrition, their flavor. And we wonder what you think. And we wonder if you think that eating insects will catch on in this country. I'm thinking about the sustainability in another sense, Robert. The amount of resources it does take to raise beef, for example. Do you ever see the day when we could be getting most of our protein from insects and not relying so much on animal products?
Yeah, and I think that's a really important issue to discuss. Even in developed countries like the U.S., there are still large amounts of diseases like osteoporosis or anemia, iron deficiency or calcium deficiency, and supplementing our diets with insects through insect flour is a really easy way for us to start combating some of these issues without having to change our diet. Even in Wisconsin, as lately as 2008, the Bondi Food Pantry was showing that about 1 in 11 households in Wisconsin is considered food insecure. And down here in Texas, it's closer to 1 in 9. So we do have a portion of our population that isn't getting enough of healthy food. And if we can put cricket flour in our pasta, in our bread, in our tortilla chips, or in our dessert, this is a really easy way for us to be getting those vitamins and nutrients that we're missing from our diet. And so I think it is really important for us to look at it as a really easy, approachable way for us to increase everybody's nutrition.
April on Facebook asks, do you kill them prior to cooking?
Yes, and in a very humane way. Because insects are exothermic, their metabolism slows down as it gets colder. So we take the insects and we lower the temperature, and as their metabolism slows down, they go into a hibernation-like coma. So there's no violent death for the insect. There's no change in state. And then they can be culled. So it's a very humane way of harvesting our animal protein.
Yeah. We have Marcia on Facebook who says, I've always contended that I would try anything as long as it's not detrimental to my health, but that I'd not want to know what it is until after I've eaten it.
Well, as long as there's no risk of a shellfish allergy, that's the way to go.
Interesting. Dave on Facebook says, grasshopper, deep fried, tastes like burnt bacon. Not bad, actually. All right. Let's go to Marty in Milwaukee next. Hi, Marty.
Hi, Joey. Thanks for letting me go on here. I guess my big suggestion is a marketing one related to the last comment, and that is that if you think about it, we don't eat pig, we eat pork, and we don't eat you know, steer or something, we eat beef. And it seems to me that one of the key things here is going to be coming up with a name that doesn't put it right in your face, that this is, you know, roach bodies or cricket bodies, you know, that there needs to be a new name. And I hope you guys can start working on that, because trying to set part of the human experience is to separate the actual source of the food, particularly meat, from its real source, for us to make it a little more palatable.
Yeah, but he's got a point.
That's a great point, and it's something that we've been exploring. There's a few ideas that have been bounced around in the past couple of decades. There's some folks that have tried calling them land shrimp. In Australia, some folks call them sky prawn. So there's a few cute ideas out there. Nothing that seems like a real stick. And the other thing is we're also not trying to we don't want to trick people or fool people. We're trying to be very upfront about the fact that these are insects that we're eating, but they're edible insects. They're human consumption grade insects. And so we want people, rather than, just being able to fool themselves, we want people to think about their food and where it comes from and how it gets to the plate and the resources that it takes to get there. And so I think when we talk about edible insects, it really does make people think about those things, especially once they've tried it and realize, oh, it's tasty.
Peg in Sturgeon Bay is with us. Hi, Peg.
Hi. You know, this is really interesting, and it sounds like something you'd want to try, but how do you get past the crawly legs and the tickly feeling? And not all insects are really good looking. How do you get past that?
Yep, we totally agree. And there's a few insects, like mealworms don't have a lot of legs or wings or sticking bits that can get stuck in your teeth. Crickets certainly do. But, I mean, there's a lot of different foods that we eat that get stuck in your teeth. So we do agree that abstracting the insects and turning it into a flower and adding it to our food is the easiest way to get people to take that first bite.
Yeah, and like you say, that flour can be put into all sorts of things that we love and eat all the time. Mm-hmm. I think we have time for another call or two. Let's Jack and Mercer. Hi, Jack.
Hi. I called. Just mentioned that about 4 years ago, my brother had a considerable amount of property where he raised vegetables and so forth, and most of them were screened in. And he came upon his area. It was out in the country. And it was completely cleaned out. I mean, there wasn't a thing left. And it was a very well-grown farm year after year.
Jack, and I'm sorry, we are almost out of time. And I didn't know that it was going to take... Did the locust wipe out the food?
Yeah, and I'm thinking back to the Bible.
Is the locust going to... how do you raise the locust to eat it?
Well, so locust is actually a grasshopper, but I think to the caller's point, a lot of these species can be detrimental to crops. But there's a lot of research going into harvesting the insects from the crops and using it as a secondary income source for the farmer rather than just spraying chemicals on the crops to get rid of the insects.
Interesting. Well, so you think that this is going to catch on in the next decade?
I do. And we are a nonprofit, an education-based nonprofit, and if people have questions or if they're looking for a source of insects or if they want to help us with our educational mission, I highly encourage people to go to littleherds.org. I answer everything. I'm always happy to talk to people about edible insects.
Thank you very much, Robert. We're out of time. This is the Ideas Network.